When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Microsoft, ready to play. From the co-designer of the hit title Civilization comes Age of Empires. From the Stone Age to the Iron Age, experience 10,000 years of amazing discoveries as you build your tribe into a great civilization. Will you explore new lands, amass great riches, or conquer all in your path? You choose your favorite form of world domination. Age of Empires.
I choose death.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Play Retro. Yeah, that's right. We're here for Tuesday, September 6th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, your host. And if you need me, I'll be back there behind 14 layers of stone wall.
Oh, I see you back there. I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I would like to introduce you to one of my many monks. Oh, woo-loo-loo. What was once yours is now mine, woo-loo-loo-loo. I can't stop. I won't stop. Woo-loo-loo-loo. Woo-loo-loo.
It's very healing, what you've done. You've healed
it's
me.
It's very healing, and it's very grabby. Give me all your things.
Yeah, give me all your stuff.
I want your horse.
That's give right. That's right. I actually have to credit, I'm going to say this now so I don't forget. We're talking about Age of Empires today, and I have to credit the game for actually being the game, the sort of ancient civilization style game that introduced me to my first time with Civilization, the game, yes. Or eventually those city builders like Caesar 3, Rise of the Middle Kingdom, Pharaoh, all those, Zeus, those were all, that all came on the tail end of me loving Age of Empires. So, hats off.
I hated real-time strategy until I played Age of Empires. So I think we may be from similar places. I didn't really care for them. I didn't like the Warcraft.
I didn't love it either. I loved StarCraft, but StarCraft came after this.
Yeah.
Not much after this, but a little bit after this. And, my perspective on RTS has changed a little bit. Prior to this, there was just a little, I don't know what the right word is, but like the Westwood Studio stuff, Command and Conquer.
Yeah, the Command and Conquer and stuff.
I didn't care
for that stuff either. I was kind of like, this looks like work.
Yeah, it seemed like work. It was work, but there was something about, you know, you killing a sheep while the other guy's building a farm and the other guy's, there's something about it.
I don't remember calling them tribes though. I heard that commercial. That guy was trying to sell me on tribes. I'm like, I think they call them villagers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Or peasants, as I would call them.
Yeah, peasants. Yeah, Christmas peasants. I always like to call them. They always
Christmas peasants.
They're always talking like hodo dinger
hodo
ding dong ding that dong, was, dong.
I played this game like a million times, and I could never understand which civilization I had until they started talking. Yeah. And it wasn't until this time around that I was like, oh, I can just easily click on my village and it'll tell me who I'm playing as. I'm like, really? Was I that dumb back in the day?
I found I found a bunch of full quotes from the game. Let me play this for you real quick here. Only take a second.
Ok, ok, hek, je, bantne,
batne,
komance, ku,
ku,
ikho,
ikho.
Now maybe these were real. I don't know.
I maybe think they were real. I don't know. I'm afraid to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm afraid those historians and language people will get on me. But yeah,
because when I last played it back in the day, I thought it was like Simlish, you know, like fake Sim talk.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
Yeah, me too. Because I mean, I think Wululu definitely is going to be something fake, but it's a lot of those one word, you know, like to collect, go here, build. Mm-hmm. I think those are actual words of the civilizations that we knew language that we could pronounce. I think those would be at least fairly real.
Well, someone at home, write in and tell me if this right here is like ancient something, or if that's just
that's full BS right there. I think I've read some interviews talking about that, yeah. And that is everyone's favorite, and that is just BS.
I
didn't
love
say
it.
If the rest of it was BS,
it's my favorite meme of any PC game ever.
Yeah,
I freaking love it.
There's nothing strikes the fear in someone. Is being like halfway across the map and you hear that attack sound, and then you can hear the woolaloos all the way across, like, oh no!
Yeah, I know.
I gotta move my dudes.
Move your dudes or you're gonna get converted, man.
Yeah, they're gonna convert some of my siege weapons, and they're gonna turn around and gonna start bombing me. No.
Yeah. Or if you do like I used to love trying to infiltrate in the back end of your place where no one knew, yeah, like at a hole you didn't know you had. Did this in StarCraft as well, but the Protoss had a unit like this. But anyway, you go back there. You convert a worker, and then you pull them out of there. Now you got your own Huns. You can build their own. You got two civilizations going. Oh. Shock and awe, baby.
See how excited we are about this game.
We are excited.
We haven't even done our top of the show discussion. I think we've kind of spent our entire Age of Empires load.
Yep, we've done it all. Now we'll talk about dumb stuff. Like, I just got back from a cruise, and I had a great time. Thanks, everybody, for your patience. We were gone last week. Apologies for no Play Retro in your feeds, but we're back today. But I did want to let you know that I took my Steam Deck with me, and I played a ton of retro on my deck. On the deck!
Ooh, I like that idea, playing with your deck on the deck.
On the deck.
And all hands on deck.
Yeah, all hands on Scott's deck. Anyway, it was great. That thing is perfect for traveling, I can tell you right now. Batteries are amazing with retro games. They barely spend.
Right.
And I played a couple of 3D games that would eat the batteries a bit, but retro was like zero problems. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And I had a great time with it. I played a ton of that Outrun 2006 thing again.
Oh. Excellent.
Because we talked about it and I got into it again. I was super into that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was awesome. Now, I had a guy walk by and he goes, well, that's a weird looking Game Boy, he says out loud. And I looked around and I was like, do I want to correct him or do I want to enjoy my freaking vacation?
No, I never correct anyone on any mislabeling. I'm just like, okay. Thanks, dude. Yeah,
thanks, man. See you later.
All it's going to do is open up a longer conversation that I'm not going to want to have.
That's true. There's also a little kid on the boat who saw it and went, like, tugging on his mom's shirt and says, look at that. And I was like,
I want his team dick. Mommy, can I touch that guy's dick?
Can I should touch his dick? Is that okay? Is it okay if I do that in public and touch his dick?
Right. So I got to ask, though, I haven't thought much about it. Now, my pre-order should be coming up before much longer on the Steam Deck that I've put in for pre-order.
Yeah.
So when I think of a cruise, I think of like blinding, glaring light when you're on the deck. Did you play actually on the deck or was that just a clever term and you were playing inside somewhere?
No, I'm glad you asked that. Because it's an Alaskan cruise, it's not it's totally not like going to Mexico or something where it's hot all the time, sun blare and all that. It's not like that at all. So it's like more like fall weather. It's almost like fall fisherman weather. We wore sweaters and pants and a jacket occasionally. And
I love how you now the sweaters I felt were necessary. The pants, you know, we wore pants
because all summer I have been Shorty McShort shorts, and this was like a fall
we wore
trip.
Bottoms.
So it was like never high. It was never warmer than like I think the high end was 60 and was usually in the mid 50s. So it was kind of cool. It was great. So yes, I could play on the deck, water rushing out behind me or next to me, music playing, a guy walking around, a guy named Jigger wanting to know if I wanted a drink or anything while I'm out there. We got to know.
Can I get
Jigger.
You a jigger of wine, yeah. sir? Can
he,
I?
He was very nice. I'm 100% sure his real Filipino name was not Jigger, but that's what he had on his car on his name tag.
So you were being escorted around yeah. So you had a what nationality did you take in?
He's from the Philippines.
Oh, he's from the Philippines. So does he like just go all over the world?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These guys. So
I'm so ignorant. I've never been on a cruise.
No, they do like 6 month stints. There were people. So the crew, the helpy people, the employees. You know, the crew.
Helpy. I need you over here.
They were incredibly internationally mixed. There was like Russian, Ukrainian. Filipino, as I mentioned, Taiwan, China.
Why did you put those two together?
India.
During this time of conflict.
Well, there was one because one of them was playing music on the music deck with the what do you call it? Her violin. I can't think of the name of the instrument.
Oh yeah, the music deck.
The music deck. They played "My Heart Will Go On," which I thought was dangerous. I don't think you do that.
Nice. Don't do that. Don't do that. Watch out for that iceberg.
I forgot to mention on the show this morning, but. Yeah, this one girl, this Ukrainian girl, her accent. Great. Oh my gosh, dude. She could read me a book every day.
Nice.
I would love that, but she had nothing to do with me or my wife.
Well, good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So the sun wasn't a problem. That's one of the things I haven't really researched into the Steam Deck. Cause I'm like, I imagine I'll probably play it in bed mostly, but sometimes I go outside. I don't like playing video games outside much.
Yeah.
I just don't.
It's usually glary. I get it.
Yeah.
That device is an LED screen. I do wish the Steam Deck was OLED. That'd be amazing. It'd also be a lot more money. Although I don't know, OLED's going down in price, so I'm not sure if it would actually be a lot more money or not. But
we're about to find out because all they've been talking about over there, Steam News, is hey, we were looking at doing the next one.
Already, so like, doing that. Really?
Yeah. Are they getting ready? That's what I'm curious about. I'm like, now you're making me nervous. My pre-order is coming up soon. Should I just wait? I mean, you guys are acting pretty urgent. Like, you know, the supplies were running out anyway. So why not revamp the thing, redesign it? And I'm like, what's going on? I want to know before I put my money down on this.
Yeah.
Thing.
If you send Brian a first gen when the two gens right behind it, I'm going to be pissed. Don't be doing that.
Not going to be happy.
I really like it though. It's awesome. Mm. Brian, you did some Outrun things as well. What'd you do?
I did. Yes. Yeah, so before we did their Outrun episode on eBay, I ordered a marquee replica.
Marquee Post.
Okay. So, you know, like the arcade you have at the top there, you have your little marquee with your artwork. And I got this little thing right here. What? Yeah, that's pretty cool. A little replica. And so I got to figure out how I want to do this. I want to put it in like a frame or something. I haven't quite decided yet, but I like it pretty good. It's just transparent like you think it was. So, you know, you can backlight it with a light and everything. So
it looks
pretty decent quality.
Super bright colors. Awesome.
Yeah, it's not bad. It took a little longer because the guy who was doing it, apparently he ran out of ink. He sent me a message and said, hey, I ran out of ink. So I'm waiting to try to get more in because, you know, it's hard to get right now.
Yeah.
And but I got it in. So I'm stoked.
You know what? That's the coolest thing I've seen today. Congratulations.
Yeah. I tried every week. I don't know if you know this, but every week I try to order something at the top of the week that I can add to my collection. So it'll be relevant to each of the shows. And that was my thing for the last episode was that Outrun. I was hoping I could show it during the show, but I couldn't. Now, the next thing, though, is what I did for this Age of Empires episode, which I ordered a Dell Optiplex FX170, this little bitty tiny computer thing here. It's a little thin client.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it runs. It's got its own built-in hard drive, and it can use a solid-state drive, which I attached to one right there, a little Velcroed it on there. Yeah. But it's very small. And I've enjoyed my time. It comes with Windows 7 by default, so I was able to – I don't put this thing on the network, but I loaded up my Age of Empires Collector's Edition on a USB CD, and I played in Windows XP mode. So I played the classic version of Age of Empires 1 and 2 this past week, and I did not – I did start up the Definitive Edition.
Yeah.
But
didn't
that,
as well.
That's not mine. That's not they did a fine job.
It's if a you great were starting no, today, dude. Definitive Edition's amazing because they get some beautiful widescreen 4K support, fade in and out, zoom stuff. It's nice. It's real good.
It is nice. And if someone said today, I've never played Age of Empires, Brian, how should I start? I would say definitely Game Pass has it. The Definitive Edition, do it that way. It'll be a lot of fun. But as soon as I started playing Definitive Edition, I'm like, no.
It's not crusty.
This is not
enough.
The startup screens. This is not the pixelated graphics.
Right.
This is not my retro experience. Yeah. This is a remake.
If that's what you're looking for, if you're looking for a pure retro experience, absolutely that is not the one to play. It is real great though. Very good.
It is great. I think the first one has the option to play it in, I think Age of Empires 1 Definitive Edition lets you play the like in the classic mode, so it looks a lot more like it.
Yeah.
But I don't think the second one did. I can't remember exactly. But finally I was just like, forget it. I got my CDs out in the garage. I'll go get those. I picked up that Dell FX170 thin client for $70, brand new.
Where'd
in a
you
box
get that? Because they don't make eBay them anymore. They don't.
No, it was on eBay, and I got it brand new in a box off of eBay.
You bastard.
And I paid like $70 for it. And
that's all.
Yeah, for XP, like a Windows 7 with XP compatibility mode, I'm going to be able to play all these games that I was looking at. I did a little research before I bought this one too, because I wanted to make sure that if I did get one that was kind of a thin client slash, you know, standalone mini PC, that it would play a lot of the games that we would play here on Play Retro, and it does. It pretty much will play most of what we're going to cover on this show. So I like it. Pretty small.
I've seen these before. I always wondered how they were. There's Lenovo makes one too.
Yeah, Lenovo makes one. There's several people make it. I picked this particular one, like I said, because there was a huge video that was recent that a guy did, and he was playing retro games, and I liked how it ran on what he was showing me. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to reinvent the wheel.
No.
I'm just going to find this, and I'm going to go with it.
You're going to ride that wheel. I get it.
That's right. I'm riding that wheel all the way to the Dark Ages.
Good. Well, let's ride. Yeah. Let's hop on that wheel and go research that wheel and build things with that wheel.
Shall we play a game?
Damn straight. We are playing Age of Empires. We'll talk about 2, 3, Mythology, a few of those others as well. But really the focus here is the franchise known as Age of Empires. Age of King. No, the original was just Age of Empires. Age of Kings was 2.
Yeah, just Age of Empires. Boom. And then part 2 was Age of Kings, because that's the ones that went from the Dark Ages through the castle.
Yep. You got, let's see. Yeah, that is correct. Because the first one, you were cave people, hucking slings and rocks and
that's
stuff.
That's right. You were what they call them? Tribes.
You were a tribe, and you went, lo-lo-lo, and then you went and did shit when I pointed you somewhere to go do it. Eventually, you'd get this.
Lo-lo-lo.
But not until 2. There were no priests until 2.
Or yeah.
At least they functioned differently.
The first one, if you haven't played the first one, if you're like me and Scott, you probably played mostly Age of Empires 2. I think across the board, that's what most people played the most of. However, Age of Empires 1... sold big time, and a lot of people really at least touched it. And man, having to micromanage one, you didn't realize how much you had to like touch each villager and go, hey, go do this.
Oh yeah, but version 1 of this game is it is without all of the things we think that these must have, like grouping properly, right, and formations and shortcut keys. And what is your villager going to do once he's done with something? So queuing something where he's supposed to go build 3 houses and then go back to chopping trees. Yeah, that was impossible in 1. You could do it 2 and forward. But 2 in a lot of ways is the true innovation, whereas 1 is like, hey, we can do one of these, we think. We're not totally sure, but we think we can. This uses what they called the Genie Engine. It was inspired by Warcraft, Command & Conquer, Civ, those games. An AI that doesn't cheat. That was their big sell, is you could play against a computer that didn't cheat against you.
I remember playing I didn't play much of it, but I played a little bit of, the Warcraft original 1 and 2 and the Command and Conquer and Civ, especially. I played a good bit of Civ later on.
Yeah.
All those AIs, it really felt like they had your number. They knew where you were at. They knew what you were doing, and it felt kind of icky.
Yeah.
And like they were getting a full look of the board, and I was only getting a little look, and they changed that with they wanted to do something different here. They made an AI that was just as blind as you was until they, explored through the fog of war.
Yeah, they learned like you did by revealing the map and other stuff, which I found kind of disconcerting. It was like, ugh.
Yes.
This is like, what is he doing right now? I don't know, but he's thinking like me, and that's weird. I don't like that. I remember thinking it was really intense at the time. But here's some sound from the game. So, you know, you go out, you're building stuff. Here's some building.
Love the music in this game. That's one of the things that really sold me. There's always a soundtrack to what you're doing, and it's so delicious.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's like a, how do I put this? It's not like super, I don't want to say authentic. It's not what I mean.
Oh, absolutely not.
It's not authentic, but it does, every track has the flavor of the Civ you're playing.
Yes.
And that was really cool at the time. Although Civ 1, I don't remember what Civ 1 did for music. May have been pretty light on music, but
I can't remember Civ 1 very much at all. I can see it visually, but I can't remember much of the gameplay because I've played so much Civ since then, later versions.
Yeah, it feels like it's been enough time has passed. The one thing about the original AOE was, and people are going to hear us say AOE a lot today. That's, of course, short for Age of Empires, but it also, for a lot of RPGs players these days and MMO players, you know AOE as Area of Effect as well. So that can be a little confusing. I apologize for any confusion we may cause. In today's context, if we mean Age of Empires Area of Effect, we will say AOE, AOE. Okay? That's what we'll
say. Right. That's totally not confusing.
No, not at
all.
Deal
with it.
Anyway, so this game was cool at the time, but I look back on it now, there's a flat sparseness to it. Also, nothing's in proper proportion. Thank you.
Yeah.
The boats are tiny compared to a dude. The tower's monstrous compared to the houses are too big for how big the tower should be.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't really care about that so much, which was, you know, abstraction for the sake of it's a video game and we were all okay with it. Two totally changed that though. Two had like scale and, you know,
a little closer.
Yeah,
it did get a little closer, but even still, then you were still loading up elephants on a boat.
Yeah, for sure, which never made any sense to anybody ever. But
right, I'm gonna load up six elephants on this boat.
And they would just disappear on top of your little skiff.
Yeah,
and then take them across the thing. For those out there, like longtime Warcraft players, you'll know names like, for example, Greg Street, Ghost Crawler, Greg Street.
Yes.
He was part of Ensemble Games, who helped make Age of Empires 2, and was there for that whole thing. And I just think it's funny that dude worked for Ensemble, which was published for and then bought by Microsoft.
Right.
He left, went to Blizzard. Hasn't been a Blizzard since 2015, but Blizzard is about to be acquired by Microsoft all these years later.
Is he the harbinger of doom? Is that what you're saying? Old
I don't know.
Shrimp?
I think that dude is, Greg is a really smart guy. He was formally educated as a marine biologist before making video games. And you can always, I don't know, you can just feel the intelligence coming off of that guy. He knows stuff.
He knows which way the winds are blowing, right? Yeah. So,
and he's at Riot now making their MMO. I doubt Microsoft is buying Tencent, but maybe they are. I don't know.
Right.
But anyway, just fun little side note. If you played this game, then you'll remember that it used a system a lot like rock, paper, scissors. If you were a, a pikeman, you're good at killing horse. If you were a sling dude, you were good at getting the walk around dudes, and the walk around dudes are great at getting whatever they got.
The walk around.
I don't know what they're called, like warriors. Is what
I love. Well, there's a bunch of different types. As you progress, that's why it's called Age of, because you progress through ages, and every time you go through another age, you get access usually to warriors, because your villager, you have villagers from the very beginning. And they take on whatever hat that you assign them to. So you'll have a villager and you'll point him to some trees, and suddenly his title would change to villager and he'll be, you know, a lumberjack. Otherwise you would start out with warriors, is what you were talking about. And then as you go through ages, you'll advance, and different civilizations have access to different types.
Yeah.
Of warriors and, you know, swordsmen and different types.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it fun. That's the rock, paper, scissors part of it, because it's like, oh, you know, you got some guy riding on a horse. Well, you're not going to do much with that horse if you got a guy with a spear and he's going to chunk that thing into the ground and he's going to kill your horse.
That's
right.
That's right.
You're not going far.
No, and nobody wants that in their life. Hey, do you remember that? What was their online service they used to play multiplayer games in this? Do you remember the name of that thing?
For Age of Empires 2. I don't know if they had it in the first one. Did they have the online service in the first one?
I thought they did,
and
it was MSN something. Like
I remember doing a lot of TCP/IP LAN stuff with the first one, but I don't remember doing much with
you might
with,
be right.
As
Maybe
far
two
as online stuff.
Yeah, two may have been more organized that way, but one of them, I guess it had been two, but they had a service they used for this, Asheron's Call, and I don't know, a couple other online games. And it was called MSN Game Poke or some.
The Game Zone. Yes.
Game Zone. Is that it?
Yeah. Game Zone? The Game Zone. And if you have the original, reason why I know that is because you have the original Age of Empires 2. There's a big old gross looking MSN The Game Zone icon.
That's the
right
one.
There on the menu system.
Yeah.
Not going to see that in the definitive edition because where would you connect to? Nowhere. And by the way, it goes to the zone, I think, or something like that, or Game Zone. I can't remember. I clicked on the link to see what it would do. Yeah. It didn't go anywhere.
Doesn't go anywhere. No. Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate 404, dude. That thing ain't going shit.
He's like, you're not going to play a game over here, stupid.
No, you dummy. It was cool, though, for when it was. Like, nobody was doing anything like that. We kind of had GameSpy at this point, and it was doing some stuff with shooters and other things. But this idea of organizing matches against other people and having it track your wins and your losses and all that, it's kind of groundbreaking at the time. Age of Empires, I guess, was still doing the IP thing. You're right about the timeline.
I like the idea that you could play multiplayer because when I first got Age of Empires, my friend said, oh, you got to play this game. I'm like, okay, let me see what this is. I'm like, oh, no, this is like that Command and Conquer bull crap. You're always trying to get me to play. I don't want to play it.
You don't want to play it. You felt forced.
I don't want to play it.
Yep.
I'm like, fine, I'll look into it. So I did, and I started playing by myself, as I often do, because I don't like playing multiplayer of any game until I feel like I'm at least proficient enough to not like I'm looking like a moron. I played it for a while by myself, and I was enjoying myself, having a good time. And then when I played multiplayer and we started having our LAN games, everything changed. My life changed. I went from playing Age of Empires occasionally to playing Age of Empires several times a week.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Same exact experience. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Especially when you could do, you know, we did Office LAN stuff. Oh my gosh, what a waste of time that was. I mean, waste of business time. Amazing use of gaming
we
time.
We did it after. We did. Luckily, I worked for a small ISP that was attached to a place that was being rented out for computer repair. And all these people were my friends. And so we were all on the same network. And we just, you know, we were already plugged in. So after hours, so we would work from, you know, our usual 8 to 5 or whatever, 1 hour lunch break. And then after that, all bets were off, man. We had access to the to everything because we weren't really using up any resources, maybe power. But,
but
they were OK because it was keeping us happy and we were engaged, you know. So
now a lot of those companies in those days, they wanted you to these were parts of the Internet that were actually, you know, emerging. And I would assume a company like that would want you to be like really fluent in all of that. And that makes sense.
Yeah. That was the thing. It was helping us troubleshoot. We didn't know it, but we were doing stuff like troubleshooting why we're having connectivity issues between the network and that kind of stuff. And we went on to use that information to help set up other places. So yeah, I was working 16 hours a day and also playing. So, I mean, I was just like diving all in.
It's what we did. So yeah.
Yeah,
this was the part of the 90s that I remember most, is going all in on everything all the time, work, play, and sometimes at the same time. Yeah. The other thing is,
I do remember feeling like a badass in Age of Empires 1. I could beat the AI fairly easily, even on moderate or even maybe even hard. I think when you're at the end, I was playing like hard, not the hardest, but like there was moderate, which was in the middle. Which I think is where you started on Age of Empires 1.
In Age of Empires, because you mentioned a couple of times how smart the AI was compared to others, or at least it didn't cheat, but it wasn't necessarily a great player. He wouldn't cheat, but he kind of sucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Age of Empires 1, the AI definitely needed some work because they actually went the other way. They stupefied the AI, and it just wasn't very good because they neutered it. They said, "Hey, you can't cheat." And it's like, "Oh, who am I supposed to do then?"
Yeah, yeah. What am I supposed to do with this video game?
How am I supposed to win? And it's like, oh, but so yeah. Yeah, they fixed that in 2.
They did for sure. 2 is a huge improvement across the board. And in fact, is a classic forever. Here's a little bit of that.
One of your most powerful units is created at the castle.
Yes.
Create 10 more Wold Raider.
Yeah. Make 10 more of them. Yar, yar. And that's where you got
you
the full...
through the Mel Gibson scenario, isn't it?
I don't remember. They did have... Right? Like, the campaign was more of, like, historical scenarios, whereas the first game didn't mess with that as much.
Right. I would have say that was, like, the William Wallace the storyline.
Could have been
that first one. Yeah,
could have been. You could see why they'd want to do that. That's when you first hear this guy with his whole phrase.
I never did the ohio.
No one did. No, they just went straight to woo-loo-loo. Skip straight over it. That game introduced a ton of new stuff, including, like I mentioned before, just the overall graphic treatment meant that the game was going to look a lot more suited for realism, or, you know, kind of representation of old world aesthetic, which I really appreciated about it. The buildings were big, the people were small, or at least felt more proportional. And man, the customization. You could make a custom map against the AI with every possible scenario you could think of in terms of how much gold to start with, how much stone to start with, all your resources, how hard or how easy it was going to be. If you wanted to play, and I love this about that, 4 is this way too. If you want to get in and just say, I want to play like a relaxed Civ game here where I'm not really killing anybody, you could do it. You could make a map with no AI, all the resources you'd want, gigantic map, and just build the greatest civilization man has ever known.
Yeah.
And turtle up like hell and kill all the wildlife. And even if you just did one AI opponent, put him on easy, he'd be out on your wall barely, you know, he'd level one or two new Civs or whatever, or age advancements, while you're, you know, all the way at the end and you're just dominant. You're never going to lose. And they'll just pick at the wall. Bing, bing, bing. Put a tower over there. They'll never bug you again. Like, there were so many ways to play. You could be hardcore and go nuts and really play hard. Or you could just kind of have a nice, relaxing, good time. And I love that freedom. I was so happy they gave us that. And random maps, I should mention. Random map generation, which the first game also had, is crucial here because none of its contemporaries, including all the Command & Conquer stuff, Warcraft, Starcraft, all of those had pre-designed maps. They were they were designed, built, and done by somebody. So you could master a map, and that's how you'd win or whatever. This game, every game, was, what kind do you like? You like Archipelago? Do you like a little bit of river business? Do you like mountains? Like, what do you want? You'd tell it, and it would randomly generate this gigantic thing that would never be the same twice. And man, did I think this game was the full meal deal. It was an amazing game.
It really was. I was the same way. The fact that in the first one, I didn't do much of the scenario building, but it was there because that's how Ensemble actually shipped the game with scenarios. They designed it in the scenario builder, just like me and you would have done. And it was just packaged with the release. And so I really got more into the scenario building in the second one. I was really getting into the idea of modding and stuff. So I had been playing Quake and was getting into all of that kind of stuff too. And every game that I could see that I could mod or do things with, I was enamored. And that's what you could do here. You could, like you said, you would roll something. You would basically go through your settings when you started. Mm-hmm. And when you first do it, it's very daunting, but you can choose, like you said, you can choose how much resources there are. You can choose the maximum population and you just roll that thing, baby.
Yep.
And next thing you know, there's always some consistencies though. So you can make a strategy because there's always going to be, the map's always going to give you some berries to pick.
Yeah.
So that's going to be some food, but they're also going to be, in 2, you're going to see that there's going to be, lambs and stuff. They're going to be kind of, in your area. Once you walk near them, you can then direct them to come back to your village.
Yeah.
There you can slaughter them and use them for meat.
Yep.
And then there's always going to be gold and stone, and there's always going to be a tree line for you. Typically, I won't say that because I think you can put it like in a small map and pick one of the types of terrain. And you can end up with very few trees, and it can be a big pain in the ass. But I never did that. I always pick like medium sized coastal things. I like doing that.
That's I like the coastal stuff too. I like having boat options and
yeah. I like building my dock.
Yeah, yeah, lots of fish, all that stuff. I love doing that.
Yeah,
you're making me want to play. Is what you're doing. You're making.
Oh, it's so good. I played so much over the past 2 weeks. Like I said, I got that the Optiplex, Dell Optiplex, and I loaded that thing up and I would play it. I found that the way I got to play it now in 2022 is I do it all based on time limit. So I just go, okay, I'm going to give myself 1 hour to go against two other AIs or three other AIs, and I'm just going to do the best I can in that time frame. And then I win. You know, you don't really win or lose unless you actually are destroyed.
Yeah.
Or you destroy everybody else. But you're not going to do that in an hour.
No, you have win conditions, and you can reach, you can set which those conditions are, just
you
like in
times, Civ, but, points.
Yeah. You'll be there all day no matter what, though, if you'd let it.
Yeah. So I just been playing them like that. And I just like going to the end and look at my stats. I'm like, okay, it looks like, especially like the timeline part where it kind of shows each civilization and when they advanced and, you know, how you were doing population, military, that kind of stuff. I really like those stats. Yeah, those feel good. And then I just go, suck it, computer. But most of the time, the computer tells me to suck it, and I'm not that good, apparently. I kind of suck, Scott. You know, I suck at Age of Empires.
I'm going to say if I played you, I'd probably beat you. That's how, and I suck. So that's how sucky you are. I think that's probably
true. I swear, man, because this AI went, because I was used to playing Age of Empires. I really hated Age of Empires 2 when I first got it. I remember how much I hated it because I had gotten pretty good at Age of Empires 1, and I was always playing on moderate or hard. And I started on Age of Empires 2 thinking, well, you know, I probably start at moderate.
Sure.
And I just got my butt handed to me. I could never win.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, the AI got significantly more intelligent. And they at that point in time, instead of having the AI cheat, they just made the AI really good at scouting.
Yeah.
So they'll see exactly what military you have, and they will come up with the exact military that will foil you, and they'll come get you.
Yep.
And sometimes they team up on you too. You can do that, by the way, too. Oh, yeah. You can set AI team ups. You can team up with an AI individual. This game is just
real crazy. Strategy. All the options are crazy. I wish more RTSs had this level of customization, because they kind of didn't from then on. It just, they were like the only one. And I'm going to tell you right now, I still believe this with my whole being,
whole heart,
that the Turks are overpowered. They're OP.
The Turks are overpowered. So that's a good question. So
I haven't
played very much of the Definitive Edition, but there were some tweaks to the Definitive Edition and how those civs are balanced. I'm curious, are the Turks going to still be overpowered? I like the Chinese because I like fast starting my civilization. And if you pick Chinese, they have a perk where the town center will hold up to 10. Most town centers only hold five. They do anyway.
It's a riff on, you know, population, because there's so many people in China. It's the same idea.
Yes, exactly. So you start with like twice the town. Yeah, it must be 5 and 10. So yeah, you can just go ahead and just start. You just hit your town center and you start cranking out villagers, and then you just start collecting stuff and you just resource hog the crap out of that until you advance a couple of ages, and then you start really cranking out the military and you just overwhelm your opponent. So I think the Chinese, even though they're OP.
The Aztecs in the expansion were pretty awesome.
Right.
The Turks just cleaned house. Every time I played against them or with them, the Turks just won.
It seems like I remember something like that. I have...
Well, the way they did it in 2, remember that... So this is the weird thing about 2, which I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but at the time people are a little bugged by it. There are a ton of civilizations included, but they're all kind of carbon copied with very few exceptions. There'll be some aesthetics that are different, like building styles that are different. Sometimes not that different, but most of the time there's a little bit of difference there. And then they always have one unique kind of mega unit that only they can make. And
look at my mega unit.
The Turks could make the cannoneer guy.
Oh, that's
and those,
right.
Those things were just dicks. And if you made like 100 of them and just swarmed a place, they, you know, zerged over the hill.
That,
you
were, That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
They were
I
expensive, right. though. They were not cheap. So if you wanted to make those, you had to have a ton of gold and a bunch of population limits and all that to get them out. But once you did, I just felt like the Turks.
Did those guys come out of your castle? It seemed like most of the special guys came out of your castle.
Your castle was your special unit generator. That is correct.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
And they all did it. Now, the nice thing about, to some degree, 3, but especially 4, the entire makeup of your army is a whole bunch of differences. Like they really went to more diverse, because the big complaint then was this was competing. 2 was competing directly against the likes of StarCraft 2 and StarCraft 2, not StarCraft 2, StarCraft 1. StarCraft 1 and Brood War, which came out the same year, that expansion end of the game, 98. That game was revolutionary, still is in a lot of ways, because the 3 races are so completely different than each other, yet somehow balanced. Like, it's crazy what StarCraft pulls off. It's insane. And so when this game came out, they had none of that. They just had one unique unit, and then everybody's the same, pretty much. Still fun, still great, but that was a big complaint. 3, but most even more so this 4, which came out in like 2020. It hasn't been that long. 4 is, you're going to hear me mention 4 a few times today. 4 is a throwback to 2 in terms of gameplay, aesthetic, and just overall mission. But is a much more diverse modern playing game. It's in, of course, 3D engine and all that beautiful brand new 4K engine. If you liked 2, but you're like, I don't want to play the old one, I am telling you right now, especially if you're a Game Pass person.
Yeah.
4 is awesome. 4 is freaking great. And I highly recommend it. And all that stuff I said about that I could do with 2, I can do with 4, including these creative, wacky multiplayer modes where I can play a peaceful game of Civ or a hardcore, difficult game against the AI or simple games against people, you know, online, no matter where they're at. Like, that's a weird thing to say. What is it? What's the year? 2022? You can play online with people no matter where they're at.
You can play on the MSN Game Zone with people anywhere on the internet.
I don't know why I said it that way. But 4 is great, and I'm going to play some 4 this week because I'm in the mood now. I am in the mood for this.
I was shocked. I streamed a lot of Age of Empires 2, and I was shocked at how many of my subscribers and followers had not played Age of Empires. I was kind of really amazed, and I was like, don't play this one, though. Don't play AoE 1 or 2 unless you got nostalgia for it. Go play the new one. Go play 4. Go play 4. You're gonna enjoy that a lot more. I have an emotional agreement with this game, Age of Empires 2 and 1. And I still think it still holds up.
I agree.
Maybe my nostalgia is making me blind, but
I agree.
I'm still having a lot of fun with it. It's balls hard.
It is hard, or it can be.
The second one is.
Yeah, can be. I wouldn't say, again, you have a lot of control over how hard things are, but yes, they're difficult games, or they can be. And the thing about 2 is that definitive edition of 2 is, I still think there's a strong argument that could still be someone's first game now. Like, play that version now, because it feels modern in a lot of ways. It feels retro in a lot of ways, but, you know, they've clearly done some work to make that thing better on modern.
Is that running systems. On a, I've been meaning to go back and look. I didn't look at really deep into Definitive Edition, but didn't Forgotten Realms Empires, aren't those the game developers, independent game developers, end up working with all these guys for doing that, if I remember correctly?
I don't know. That's a great question.
They did like expansions and stuff back in the day. I can't remember exactly their entire role. Anyway,
I'm going to play Definitive Edition 2. Look at this game. Oh my gosh, I'm going to play
it. It looks so good, doesn't it? Look at it, because you can do the big screen now. Now you're no longer in that, 1024 or 1280 by 1024. Now you're, you know, at 4K level, and you can see this. You can see the field is huge. Yeah,
they tripled or quadrupled the frames of animation on the characters. Yeah. Like, it's all so much better.
I wonder what engine it's using. I didn't look that up. I know the original was using the Genie engine, which was a 2D engine. You couldn't zoom in and out because the machines just weren't going to be able to handle that at the time. But now I think you can zoom in and out on this version. I think. Yes, I'm not 100% sure on that.
You totally can, yeah. It has some levels of zoom. It also has some new building physics. So if you blow up a building, they used to just look like crunched up paper effects. It was real bad back in the day. Now these look like collapsing little 3D models.
A little smoke blowing up, maybe.
Yeah. Four, okay. If anything, duplicates two so well in its aesthetic that you're almost like, wait, is this an old game? But it's clearly not. It's a brand new, you know, fancy game. But the little, look, I'm a sucker for this. I can never get enough of this. These little 2D handcrafted buildings with like, you know, a little guy on a smokestack in there doing shit and somebody else doing the arrow shooting the thing. And this, that, I love those trinkety little buildings. I could look at those all day. I want to have like, what do you call it? Like a little diorama version on my desk. Like,
yes.
I just love that stuff. Oh, man.
I loved it. And it was the thing that caught me right away. When I played the first Age of Empires, I remember the reason why I didn't like a lot of these other RTSs is because they were mostly war based. This was a little bit of base building. Matter of fact, the start of this is almost all base building, and it's not because you're getting ready for not necessarily because you're getting ready for war, but because you're trying to get ready for resource collecting. You know, making your town more efficient by building, you know, markets and different things. There is a military aspect to it that as growth goes, but it starts out basically as a very simple: where am I going to put my houses at? Where am I going to do this? And you're not really necessarily at that point thinking much about the battle that is ensuing later on. So you get invested. You get invested into your little small town, and then I felt like I wanted to fight for it. I wanted to, you know, I didn't mind building walls and defending. I usually picked a defensive civilization, which usually there's only a couple of them in each one of these.
I always did too. You're just like me. Yeah. We would turtle up is what we did.
We would turtle up, exactly what we would do. Yeah. And so it's such an emotional investment. And it got me into wanting to do city building stuff, and it got me into RTS stuff. It just... This thing is just a pivot point for a lot of where my gaming would be.
Absolutely for me too, especially when it comes to like top down three quarter sort of view city buildy sort of stuff. Those impressions games, like I mentioned earlier, Pharaoh and all those. Like, I don't know if I'd ever touched them if it wasn't for this. And I revere those games, like revere them. We're gonna have a whole episode on those one day because that company's gone. They don't make them anymore. Some people try to reproduce what they were. They fail. They're such an amazing era of 2D city buildy things. And I don't know if it hadn't been for AOE, I don't think I'd have played it. I wouldn't have known about it. Sorry, everybody. We're back because a stupid internet did a dumb thing. Anyway, so Brian, I was
your
just talking
internet
about...
Your internet went 2D on us.
That's right. I was just talking about how and you were saying similar things, but you know, this was gateway drug game. That's what this was.
RTS to city building and everything else. Am I starting to slow change of mind on how I felt about Microsoft, because I had hated Microsoft for the OS crap they put me through, and I was slowly starting to warm up to the idea of Microsoft at least delivering publishing games that I like Zoo Tycoon and Age of Empires and that kind of stuff. They were starting to win me over in that area. Still hate their OSs though, but you know what you're gonna do. Love hate. One more Windows NT full system corruptions crash, and I was gonna have to murder somebody.
Yeah, those were awkward days, sure. And they weren't really sure what they were doing with the gaming stuff, and wouldn't be for a very long time, turns out. But they'd get there eventually, and they were a couple years now away from a console. Nobody knew it then, but not long
at all.
Now, let's dive into an era that got weird. Things got 3D there in the early 2000s, folks.
Yes.
And what happened? Well, these guys jumped in with this. There you go.
Move your mouse to the top of the screen to scroll the view in the main game window to the next flag. Well done. Right-click the ground near the next flag to keep moving down the beach. Here come the other Atlantean warriors. Drag a box around Arkantos and the other men. All of the hunters are now selected.
Anyway, there's a little tutorial for you, because that's kind of what the beginning of that game is.
Yeah,
that's
I like her voice.
Yeah, she's awesome. Age of Mythology, 2002. This thing came out on the Bang engine, which is the new 3D engine they were fiddling with.
Yeah, fiddle.
Yeah, and you got Medusas and earthquakes and big old minotaurs and all
you're
kinds of
mythology.
You're
finally able
stuff.
To take these god games where you're, you know, manipulating villages and villagers and you know, and making all the big calls. You actually finally get to play as a god who can, like, deliver earthquakes and and different things.
And
I was
do it in
I was
3D,
really
3D, three dimensions, man.
Yeah, in 3D, it was still top down. But the rendering was in 3D now, so it was a little faster too. You had to have a little faster machine, and it was nothing seemed clunky. It wasn't like the sprite era 2D stuff. You know, you actually had little people that were moving, little polygon people moving around.
And they were right to assume that this would be the future, because that's how everything was from then on. Everybody went 3D.
Yeah.
So including Warcraft 3. Warcraft 3 came out a year after this, 2003. And
look at those beaches and the ocean waves and stuff.
I know. It's cool, man. I think it still holds up. And famously, well, for me, famously, Age of Mythology was the first thing, item of any kind, game or otherwise, that I bought on eBay. Because back in 2000, that was the first time I used eBay. Maybe four? I was late to the game because I just didn't care about eBay. I just wasn't interested in anything on
that. I think I was still calling it Fleabay at that point, because you were used to going to flea markets, and so we just called it Fleabay.
Kind of was Fleabay. Yeah. The first thing I ever bought was a used copy of Age of Mythology, because I couldn't find it anywhere else. At the time, good old games didn't exist yet. There wasn't really a great way to get a hold of this thing, so I bought an old disc and played it that way. And
I bought this at Walmart. I don't know if you remember, but they still do. But I mean, if you wanted a Microsoft Ensemble game, Studios game, you could pretty much pick them up at Walmart most of the time.
Yeah, that's true. It was just kind of, it was definitely out of print by the time I was coming around.
Yeah.
But they
Look
were
at this dude
was
fighting
cool...
this giant Cyclops. I'm loving it. Yeah. Cyclops time.
Yeah. And that Cyclops stuff where you would kind of hero unit your way into a little corner and beat some little group of like more elite type creatures was a sign of things to come with Warcraft 3, which definitely went the route of hero characters and small groups doing kind of Dota bullshit.
Yeah. Dota bullshit.
Which is not my favorite part of the era, by the way. I don't love.
Right.
I love the setting and the kind of like, let's go full magic with mythology, but I don't love some of the mechanics, and I really dislike them in 3. And I don't like them in Warcraft 3. Everybody who likes Warcraft 3, I think the story's great. It's, was a fun time at the time. Campaign, good stuff. The multiplayer I hated, including going up against the AI, because I don't like hero class stuff. I don't like it. Not a fan. Right. I don't want to level a little dude up who has to go kill shit to level. I don't want to do that. I got RPGs. I can play those.
Yeah.
I don't want to RTS my way through that. So kind of my jam,
I didn't play much of Mythology. I don't think I got it until later on. Maybe it's the reason why I was able to find it at Walmart. But yeah, I remember going, I like Age of Empires 2. I'm going to sit here and hold here because I do find some things fascinating and interesting. It looks really good. But I wasn't really in. There was other games, because even though this is historical, recreations of myth, is still fantasy, right? I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite give me the historical feel. I'm no big historian fan or anything, but I just didn't feel like the right fit. It felt weird for some reason, like the Medusas and stuff. Everything felt cheaty to me. I'm like, this feels cheaty with these earthquakes and.
Sure.
All these bigger than I felt like before I was struggling, like the human struggle. Look at these trees getting failed, though. That was pretty cool. I did like the 3D graphics. Couldn't you zoom in this one?
Yeah, you could zoom. They got pretty ugly up close though, but
you didn't want to see that.
And this was right around the time you'd get, maybe it was 03, Rise of Nations. You ever play that?
Yes, Rise of Nations. Isn't that where our buddy Bruce Shelley, didn't he go on to
he did. I'm pretty sure him and maybe a couple others, but some crucial Age of Empire folks went over there to big, huge games, and they built stuff. And one of them was that game, Rise of Nations, which was also 3D. And that game was crazy because that started Stone Age and ended in like the information freaking nuke age.
So they wanted to do more like Civ did. Civ kind of usually it did everything. That's what I kind of liked about Age of Empires, though. It kept you in like an area. It's like, okay, you can advance this many ages, it felt more like a faster playing board game or something to me, as opposed to some big epic giant thing. I still feel that way about Civilization. I can play that game That's an 8 hour session right there.
I'll lose track of my entire day if I play Civ.
Yeah, it's gone. Whole thing.
Yeah, Civ 6, especially in the state that Civ 6 is in now with all the expansions it's got, that thing is, my gosh. You want to just, you got time to burn? Let's say, you know what? Let's say you got a terminal disease. Doctor says, you know, you got like 3 years. If you want that time to hurry up and be out of here, just sit down and play that online.
I'm tired of waiting.
Yeah, just play Civ. That'll get you through.
Play Civ, man. It's crazy. You'll look up and you're like, oh my God. And then you look, I have such guilt. I have such guilt and shame after playing Civ because I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah. And what else could I have done while I was doing this? Yeah. But I do. Oh, man, I love Civ. And one day Civ gets its time in the light here on the show.
Like I said, I love Civilization, but it's like me and Age of Empires, we're good roommates.
Yeah.
We spend just enough time together, and it's like, I'll see you later, buddy. You too.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
And then we get back together.
But then you do, right? You come back together. Yeah. You do find each other every time.
Yeah. I think that's like a toxic relationship. I mean, the Civilization is more like a toxic relationship where it's just, you know, you're just engaged in that hot, passionate building and loving. And then, you know, it's like, oh, I got to do something else. I got to go get a hobby.
Well, all of you early 2000s freaking Halo kids, probably excited because Ensemble would go on to do the Halo Wars series as well. Then a wholly owned subsidiary of Microsoft, they built those Halo RTSs and they were pretty good. They were good games.
Yeah, I wanted to play that, and I never got to play the the Star Wars one that was built on the Genie engine as well.
It was a very
similar vibe.
Yeah, that was Empire at War, was it?
Empire at War, I think that sounds right.
I never played that game so much. Oh, Brian. Yeah. I mean, it was Age of Empires 2 down to the pixel in terms of 100% using that engine. Like, that is absolutely what that was, but I didn't care. It was AT-ATs walking around and and guys going, the rebels have entered the base. The rebels have entered. Like all that bullshit. It was so good.
Right.
Loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. I hate that I missed it.
Yeah, you missed out.
I don't know why I didn't play it. I don't know what happened, the reason why I didn't get into it. Maybe I was realizing that Age of Empires was consuming too much of my life, and I was like, no, I can't do another one.
That might have been it. You can't do two of these at once. You can't do another one. Especially that those games looked like a mod. Age of Empires 2.
It probably kind of was. They probably just reskinned some art. I mean, it was based on the Genie engine, which was pretty much, it's a pretty simple engine other than the very intellectual AI. Yeah. I mean, but otherwise, you know, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Well,
map generating scenarios.
Maybe for you skip over mythology or people like you and they jump straight in to this thing I'm about to play here. Enjoy this.
Move your mouse to the top of the...
Whoops, wrong one here, this one.
The story of why my family first came to the New World begins with the attack on Malta, the last stronghold of a dying order of Crusader Knights. This much is fact. My ancestor Morgan Black was with the Knights of St. John when they defended the island from Sahin and the Ottomans. The rest, well, like most family stories, it's hard to separate the truth from the legend.
And then, boom, listen to this. Oh. So, this is the time where Age of Empires entered the high fidelity era, as far as I'm concerned, but also became not interesting to me. And again, it was a mechanics issue. It was a focus on hero leader thing. I felt like it got away from what made 2 special. 3 is a hard pill for me to swallow overall. It's still a fine game. Don't get me wrong. It just wasn't what I was coming to it for. And I actually upgraded a PC to get there because this thing ran like shit on my current box that I had it on.
Oh,
came out in 05, I guess, right? 05?
Yeah. You got your Sound Blaster in there. Got your Sound Blaster Gold, do you? You got your little speakers there, do you?
Hell yeah.
Some Logitech speakers there. Yeah.
Three is interesting. I would actually argue 3 in some ways is the best looking of all of them.
Yeah, it's using that 3D Bang engine, so it definitely has more textures and everything. It's a really good looking game. But I'm with you. The gameplay wasn't as much fun to me. I still enjoyed it, but I didn't play nearly as much of this as I did.
In some ways, some of it was too much like, oh, this is the same. And then there were other things where it was like, oh, this is new, but not really what I want. So I was kind of just I was kind of part of the problem, you know, where my head was at with these things. So I don't really blame the game so much. And it's been, you know, it went almost, let's see, 2005. So that's 2021 is when the last one came out. So how many years is that? That's a huge break.
It's a pretty big break. Like with five, yeah, a little break there between Age of Mythology, 3 years. You know, the push behind the Age of Mythology version going to 3D and everything else was Age of Empires 2 got a good bit of criticism for not being a big step forward after Age of Empires and the first one. So the second one, even though it was much improved and I liked it a lot better, the critics were kind of panning it going, eh, this is more of the same. But so they decided to make a big jump with Age of Mythology. And then I guess they felt like they needed to come back to what they did best. And I don't know, just so much time had passed since, you know, two, what's that, 6 years between that one and this one?
6 years, yeah. And then and then my point is between this and four is like 16 years. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. And but I remember liking, I remember the interface was way better, if I remember correctly, in part three. I did like how everything, how much more accessible everything felt. Because I remember in two, one of the problems I would always have is keeping my troops where they were supposed to be and remembering to tell them to stand their ground and not run. Because if you didn't set that, you would end up with, you know, a whole bunch of them chasing after a scout. You know, and then you'd be like, where's my army at? They're supposed to be by the building.
I think it was, and the G key was the shortcut key, but I would always forget to do it. Or maybe that sent them into the garrison. I don't remember.
I can't remember. You could really garrison. I loved
garrison.
I loved the balancing of the garrison, because once you got down to a certain level, even if somebody got past all of your stuff and you, but as long as you build like a bunch of farms around your village center there, and you keep a bunch of peasants right in there, I mean, shoot. Just it has to be a pretty big army to come in and take those guys out, because that is a one stronghold, your town center. When you get all the guys in there, you put all the villagers in there, and they start hucking spears, it can take out a pretty good bit of stuff.
Yeah. So it's one of those deals. Now, real quick, someone corrected us. It's Galactic Battlegrounds 1 and 2.
Okay, Galactic Battlegrounds.
Sorry, chat, we got that wrong.
The Star Wars game that uses the Genie engine.
Yeah, the Star Wars 2D games, They look like Age of Empires mods. They truly did.
Yeah.
But they were still wonderful in their own way. All right. That brings us pretty current. There was other stuff. There were expansions. Of course, the DS game. I do want to mention the DS game real quick. It was called Age of Empires, Age of Kings DS. So it was technically 2, but not really at all, because the game played totally different. But you know what? Is a hell of a thing. What it reminded me of was playing Advance Wars, but in the look, motif, and gameplay of an ancient city builder.
Didn't the developers for Advance Wars, didn't they make this version?
Oh, if they did, I didn't know. I didn't look that up. That might be. If they did, that'd be like amazing. That'd be amazing. I would love that, because that would explain a lot. But basically, you were just like, you know, there was a top-down map on the bottom screen. On the top of the DS, you had all your stats. And you would go do these attacks, and then you would have a separate screen for when the attack happened, and you'd have strengths. And, you know, it was a turn-based tactical game is what it was.
Yeah.
And it was freaking great. It was pretty cool. Good. Yeah. I actually highly recommend this. If you want to, if you can go and, I don't know, I guess you can emulate it now or whatever. If you have a DS, you can still play it. Wonderful take on the idea. I'm not sure it ever really took off, because I don't know, people probably scoffed like, what is this? You're dumbing down this game for handheld? But they really did something different with it, and I was happy.
Yeah. They really did. And I didn't play much of it. I did see it, but I never really played this. I didn't have a – I don't think I had a DS when this came out. And, of course, by the time I had all that, I was like, I got other things I want to play.
I spent some real money on that game. I think it was like 50 bucks. It was too much.
Let's talk. I want to talk strategy just for a second.
Give it to me.
So did you have like a go-to strategy? What was your... Okay, so I'll tell you what
Be the Turks. That's it. Just be the Turks.
Be the Turks. That was... You need a shirt that says be the Turks. That's all I was going to say. Be the Turks. I could occasionally defeat one or two of my friends. I never won when we were playing, you know, four or five people. I would never win. I would always be like, I might be able to beat one or two.
Yeah.
but I was always going to get defeated. So I decided early on, I like harassing people. I especially like people who get very upset when they can't annihilate you. So that's one of the things. That's how we'd usually play. It's like, okay, we're going to play till annihilation when you totally destroy another civilization and the game is over because that other individual has totally died.
Yeah.
So I would always get me a couple of guys and I would sprinkle them behind trees where you couldn't really see them. And so I would like have them like in the world in different areas. I'd get on, I'd throw them on a boat and drive them out somewhere and I'd throw them in the woods so you couldn't see them. So they would come in and destroy my town center. As long as you got a villager, game on, baby. Mm. Game keeps going. Mm-hmm. And so it would be a game of them trying to find my dude in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suck it. You can't do it.
Nope. That would, that's a war of attrition at that point. You were the Viet Cong, dude. Just too much of a pain. We got to get out of this place. We can't win this war, but why? Because he's hiding in the bushes. Right. We got to go.
Well, I just want to go home. Yeah. Not until you completed the mission.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I did that a few times as well. But when I was in a multiplayer scenario, so my boss used to be obsessed with this game, with two.
Yeah.
And so we would have LAN parties at work, like as soon as work ended, 5 o'clock hit, bing bong, and we would play for 2 hours or whatever. Yeah. And he was so hardcore and so competitive with that effing game. That every match was some accusation of cheating or somebody screwed him over or whatever. So even if I'd win, I didn't really win. I just caught the wind of, Anus Face upstairs. He was so pissed.
Those are my favorite people to play Age of Empires against because if you defeated them, it destroyed them. And if they couldn't defeat you, it destroyed them. Yep. Any way you could harass them and take away their joy, which wasn't hard because they were, they wanted to just have a complete and total dominant control. And that's what they were used to. They were used to playing against other friends who were just like, just wipe them out. And yes, that's what I loved. I love being that renegade that just frustrated them.
I used to do some big risk, low payoff stuff. So here's my strats.
Yeah.
And I did this in StarCraft as well when it came to like I'd build Protoss carriers full of interceptors and it costs so much money to do this.
Yeah, everything. What it costs
everything. So you throw it's really like poker going all in, right? So I would do that in Age of Empires, but the way I would do it is I would spend all my money on trebuchets and what are the stone chucking things that move?
I know what you're talking about. There's the trebuchets, which is what
trebuchets is the ones that stand there and you have to reassemble, disassemble.
I forgot it, but you do have to. Yeah, there's the rolling ones too, though, aren't there?
Yeah, what are those called? Ah, crap. There's a word.
Catapult, just a catapult?
Catapult, that's it. Jeez.
Yeah, just a catapult.
Anyway, I had catapults and I would upgrade those to flaming ordnance.
Yes.
And then I would have,
those are so devastating.
I'd do the same thing with these trebuchets and I would find a hill and I'd have to do all kind of recon to find the right hill all while my town's sort of being managed. And I'd get up on a hill and I would put a giant base of these things just ready to deploy and fire and make sure I was just in the right range. And when it would work, glorious. Most of the time I would underestimate something or I picked the wrong hill. I had an opening in the back I forgot about, whatever. And I get overrun by pikemen, and that was it. I was done.
Yeah. We fight very similar because I'm the same way. I'm like, I would rather have, even though the odds of me accomplishing most of the time, it's just that surprise attack. I love that surprise when they just think everything's copacetic. Yeah. Did you notice how quiet it is? It sure is quiet.
Hey, you guys. It's real quiet.
You hear something off in the distance? Ooh,
oh, shit. He's converted my three trebuchets and they're now firing on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would make as many. When I discovered, I really started figuring out monks, I would get as many monks as possible. Almost my entire population would be just monks.
Yeah.
Even though they're extremely easy to kill.
Yeah.
If you could frustrate somebody, that was the joy. Because we're playing LAN. You can't get that. You can't get the joy of hearing somebody slamming the table and yelling shit in the other room like you do when you're playing online. Well, you can, I guess, but I don't wear my headphones when I listen to those people. It's no fun to devastate a stranger.
No, it's not. Well, for some people it is, but it's not for me.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
It's not for me. I like devastating a friend.
Yeah, I like having somebody quit because I turtled so hard that there's just no penetrating. And they're just like, forget it, I'm off. And they get out. I love that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I steal your joy? Did I steal your joy? Happy.
Because you thought you were going to come stomp me into the ground, but nope, I'm a turtle with a shell so hard, you can't get in. Oh, dude, I'm gonna.
We're gonna one day talk about Quake and some of the mods that were in that. And there was one. I think it was called Pain Keep or something like that. Yeah. And you had bear traps, and the bear traps were intended to be something that you would lay on the ground, and then the enemy would walk across and get some damage.
Yeah.
We turned it into the I'm going to chase you down and throw traps on you until you're dying.
Until you're just, you know, you're just a slab of polygons full of traps.
Just full of traps, man. Just throwing people, and they're running off, and they're like,
I love playing that mod scene. We got to go so hard on that when we get around to the Quake mod scene, or even the Doom mod scene. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing more satisfying than getting the electric gun and then jumping into the water and having somebody follow you because they think they're going to get you with their rocket launcher.
Yeah.
And then you just kill both. You kill both of them.
Kill yourself,
another person.
Yeah, you just made soup. You made stew with a bunch of gibs in there. Or jibs.
You died. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Dude, my memories of my time, those, what heady days those were. What a great time to be a gamer. I loved it.
I don't mean to get too far. The land game stuff just is married for me with the Age of Empires and the Quake because we played so much of them. Did you ever play Headhunter for Quake?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Headhunter was awesome.
Oh, God.
It's the first time I ever played Capture the Flag was in Quake 1. That was a mod before it was a mode.
Yeah.
Mod before mode actually is a real thing. There were so many mods that became modes that became full games. Hell, Counter-Strike, full game based on a mod that was for Half-Life. The Team Fortress was originally a Quake mod and originally evolved from there and became what it became. Like, we were there at the ground floor of that stuff, and every time some new mode would pop out, like Jailbreak or King of the Hill or Hot Potato or any of those weird, you know, games, you see them still. You'll go play Halo Infinite right now. It's got like three of these just ripped right out of the early 90s. It's great. It's great.
Oh, my God. Love. Do you remember Tribes?
Tribes, yes, Tribes was awesome. I love Tribes. I love Tribes 2. And even Tribes, the new one.
Tribes was so huge for like such a short amount of time. I find a lot of people will forget about Tribes.
Tribes is so good.
Yeah, really good.
I love it. I'm not gonna.
It burns so bright, but it faded so fast.
You're not wrong. First Tribes game, 1998, 23 years ago. Oh my gosh, that's a long time ago. How's that happen?
Yeah.
My favorite was the Hi-Rez Studios reboot of the thing called, Tribes Ascend. This multiplayer thing in 2012. I played the shit out of that. The problem is they made the game and then they very quickly abandoned it and started working on their MOBA. Forgot the name of the MOBA. So people were mad at him. But I thought
about that. Yeah,
that was a good try. It was a good Tribes game. It was actually solid.
Yeah, a lot of passion behind Tribes, man. A lot of passion.
I'd play Tribes right now if I had a chance. Tribes is great.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, Tribes is like, hey, what if Quake was outside with a bunch of mods? That's kind of what Tribes was.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Anyway, one day we'll do Tribes. I like Tribes.
We're going to Tribes.
We got to figure out ways to insert these PC people once in a while because they want, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Including us. Yeah. We love PC gaming. So, we'll get around to it, you guys. It'll happen.
Agreed.
All right. Well, there's your Age of Empires. Let's dive into this thing here, right here, which is this right here.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess My Game. We bring a little audio to the show. We play it. We try to guess it. That's right. I haven't heard Brian's yet, but his description here of being from 83 on the ZX Spectrum makes me think there's no way in hell I'm going to get this.
There could be. I could have had this one, a user submitted from Kerwin again. I think we've had a Kerwin before, and he loves sending me things on Discord to try to stump
or
Scott.
Skunk.
But I said spunk.
Spunk. Sure.
Yeah, spunk. But I look forward to you failing.
Well, all right, let's find it right here as I play. Well, I'm going to play mine first. So this is my hints to you is that it's the year 2000. The year 2000.
Oh, year 2000. Yes.
On the on the personal computer, the PC. So this would have been like Windows ME or NT or whatever crap we were using. I remember it being a big deal when I bought it. I played it. I don't know if anyone else did. This might be really hard. I'm giving you a ton of leeway on this one, all right? So here you go.
The next 24 hours will bring heavy cloud cover. Temperatures will reach minus 50 degrees during the day and fall to minus 90 at night. A light breeze will come from the south. Low pressure from the east will result in snowstorms. You are forbidden to leave your bunkers during the storm.
I like that part of the end.
Yeah.
I'll give you one other hint. This is an RTS. I wanted to stay in, you know, theme today.
Right.
So I chose an RTS from 2000. Any guesses?
RTS from 2000. I mean, we weren't, were we into RTSs by two? Yeah, I guess we were right in the middle of RTSs.
We had three, we had two Age of Empires and one Age of Mythology.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking you said 2010. I don't know why I was thinking that. But yeah, 2000. So RTS 2000. Might give me another hint. What you got? What else you got there?
3D and one of the first 3D RTSs ever, and maybe the first science fiction focused.
Oh, science fiction. Okay. Would this be by the? Would this be from one of the developers that we talked about today? Like some of the, like
Nope.
No. Which would it be? One of the XCOM?
Nope.
No.
XCOM, and plus, you know, XCOM's turn-based anyway.
So turn-based, right. Well, you're right.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was a real-time strategy.
I'll give you a hint. Hit the platforms were Windows and Mac.
Right.
I don't know how this thing ran on a Mac, but anyway, this was made by, developed by Reality Pump Studios, if that helps.
Not a bit. Holy Moses.
This is a hard one. I realize that this is really hard. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. You ready? Here it is.
Give it to me.
The game is called Earth 2150.
Oh, wait. I think I do remember that one.
And I remember it very well, but, you know, whatever. It's also known as Earth 2150 Escape from the Blue Planet, had a subtitle. And it's a real-time strategy game. It was published in 2000 by SSI and the Polish developer Reality Pump. And was the sequel to 21...
Like the worst.
Earth 2140.
That's like the worst name ever.
It is a bad name. Earth 2140 came before it, but I don't remember that game. And this is one of the first fully 3D commercial games of its kind. So there's that. The game also had two standalone expansions, which were 2150 The Moon Project and 2150 Lost Souls. I played neither of those. I went back and looked at some video of this. This game does not look as cool as I remember. But it was cool to me, okay? It was cool to me.
Do you remember a Warcraft kind of knockoff that came out in 2000 called Amazons and Aliens?
No. Tell me
Joe
more.
By Joe Wood Entertainment.
No, tell me more. Tell me more.
I posted a link in the Discord server, but yeah, it was a piece of trash, but for some reason I kind of liked it. Yeah, a race of blue aliens proficient in store work versus Amazon humanoid women. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah, look at this. Oh, wow. Oh,
got you to do your breeding.
I kind of do remember this.
Yeah.
Three interplanetary storks traveling through space and three baby species of three separate worlds. I played this.
Yeah. For some reason, I remember it being like in here's a good conversation. Amazons and Aliens, worst RTS game ever.
I mean, maybe at the time I remember thinking, ooh, I just liked competition. So I was always checking competition out. Yeah. But yeah, see, Amazon and Aliens, the Pimmons campaign. Oh my gosh. Now the memories are back. Yeah.
Also known as Alien Nations. That's not what mine said.
No, mine's definitely not that. But it was like Warcraft Lite. Just a choppy mess, though. I don't think it was good. I never thought it was good. I'll put it that way. I remember playing it going, this is not good. Why am I playing this?
Look at that choppy mess. You're right. Yeah, oh, my God. I don't remember being that choppy.
It's garbage.
I do remember thinking that it was pretty cool that the aliens were. I like that aspect of it. Because they were goofy cartoon aliens. They weren't like...
Yeah,
your cool StarCraft aliens or anything.
That stuff's in your wheelhouse, man. You're into it.
Yeah.
They only had to ask once. All right, check this out. We're going to do Brian's now. So mine's kind of a fail on my part. It's kind of a game no one heard of, but I still liked it.
Oh, no.
Brian's game is from 1983 and on the ZX Spectrum. And you also say, Kerwin hates me. Who's that?
Kerwin hates you. Kerwin's the one who always sends me clips of really obscure, usually ZX Spectrum games or Commodore 64 games.
Great.
And goes, see if you can stump Scott with this. And I'm like, I guarantee you, this is not even a game. We're going to destroy Scott. There's no way he's going to guess this.
Yeah. Well, I'll give it a shot.
But the audio is interesting.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Oh, it's gone.
1983, single player.
Oh, wait, I know this. I might actually know this.
It actually came out on the Windows at some point in Dragon 3264. I don't even know what the crap that is. That it did win the Golden Joystick Award for Best Arcade Style Game.
This is so familiar. I'm going to be mad because I think I know this. The music is so familiar to me. Let me see. What's this last part?
The platformer.
Oh.
It did eventually come out on the Xbox 360. What?
That had to be. It was probably that arcade thing they had. What was their arcade thing they had on there that was called Xbox Live?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Arcade. Yeah, yeah.
What was that called? It wasn't Live Arcade. It was the other thing where they had a whole virtual arcade. Live Arcade was, once again, Microsoft with their naming conventions. They're always screwing up. But,
right.
But they had this like virtual, you took your avatar around the arcade and you bought games for like $3 and like, here's Joust. Here's, you know, their old arcade games.
And this I think Sector 7 has it. Was it Game Room? That sounds right.
Xbox Game Room. That's it. Yeah. That was a cool idea that they should have kept pushing through and they stopped. All right. I think I'm stumped here, but I know this and it's going to piss me off. So what is it?
Great. Bug Bite Software's Manic Miner. Oh, we had several people in the chat room know it. Zoe brings the bacon, knew it right away. Like, oh, yeah, I know this one.
I know and this
game. And the Wraith as well.
This on my Apple had this. My 2E or whatever I had.
Yeah. Yeah, it was on the Commodore 16, the C64, the Oric. Well, all these computers that I've never, some of these things I've never heard of. The Oric one, the Sam Coupe. I don't know what that one is.
The Sam Coupe. What is the Sam Coupe? The PMD
85? I don't know.
In some alternate history, Sam Coupe has the largest world market cap of any technology company. Oh, that's funny. And Apple, no one heard of Apple. That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. I love that. Good poll. And I should have known it. I played that game. I know that game. That
Well, that's better than I thought you would have gotten. I thought you would have been like, I have no clue. So you've at least played it before. That's good.
Yeah. It was my job today to give you something as weird as freaking Earth 2150.
You're right.
That no one's heard of. All right. Well, on that note, that's always fun. If you guys have your own ideas of some of that stuff, you can send those in to this email address, playretroshow@gmail.com, which also happens to be what we're going to do right now.
Welcome to the treasure room.
James wrote in to that email address.
Oh, James.
Yeah, James. Hubba hubba James.
Hey.
He says, hey guys, love the new show. Just as a correction of sorts, both Outrun 2 and Coast to Coast were released on the original Xbox. Coast to Coast actually combines both a completely new course and Outrun 2's course, which is why Scott would have recognized the footage of Outrun 2 and confused himself with, or confused it with Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. In 2009, Sega released a version for the Xbox Live Arcade called Outrun Online Arcade. This was essentially Coast to Coast with cleaner visuals, and you could race online with other players. Unfortunately, this title was delisted in 2011 when Sega lost their license with Ferrari.
So
that's a bummer.
Ferrari.
Yeah, I know those bastards. You Italian bastards.
Yes.
Just kidding. You guys are great. Yu Suzuki, excuse me, is my hero too, he says. And an episode dedicated to him or an interview would be amazing. Shenmue is my favorite game of all time and completely changed my life. All the best, James.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Wow, changed your life. So I would love to know James's thoughts on 3. This, you know, 3 is a new game.
And, Shenmue 3.
Should I play it? I have a code. Should I play it?
You have a code? You should totally play it if you have a code. I want to get out. Look, I have heard so many people talk about, I've played just a little bit of Shenmue. I mean, hardly any at all. Just enough to kind of go, oh, so this is what this is. And I've never played any more than that.
This
and
is
I
what
really
this
feel
is.
Like
Yeah.
Right. I really feel like the amount of passion that people have for this game, I'm like, I need to go back and visit. I must not have gotten it. But the same way, lots of games I start playing, like the first time I played Minecraft, I'm like, this is stupid. What am I doing right now? This is dumb.
Well, interactive 3D third person open world games are probably right. they all owe a little bit of thanks to Shenmue, no doubt.
Yes.
But the actual the Shenmue in its time, it was mind-blowing. No other games were like this. It was weird. You could walk around a town and pick something off the floor or play a video game in an arcade and have it play like a video game and then walk Outrun around some more. And you could fight. Yeah, you could play Outrun. You do all these things in this game. It was really unique in that regard. By today's standards, I think it's creaky as hell, but it doesn't mean it wasn't an important moment in gaming for sure. So yeah, I love that you love it, James. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, James, I do too. I like I said, I would like to play. I'd like to play three, I suppose. Maybe that's where I should start. Maybe if you're a Shenmue fan out there, you should guide me and let me know. It's like, Brian, do not play the first one. You will be bored to tears as a new player. I don't know. We'll find out. Let me know.
Did they nail it with three? That's the question. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they got what people wanted.
Or do you hate it?
Yeah, maybe you hate it. I didn't play two at all, so I don't have much to say about two, but I have some curiosity about three, and I have a code. I may as well just load it up, see what's up.
You should just load it up and just put in your Xbox Series X, of which I got. Suck it, Johnson.
Oh yeah, Brian got. Well, I have one too, so I don't have to suck anything. But Brian's got a Series X, and I'm really excited about that because I know one of the first things he's going to do is get in there and get RetroArch running and all that, and I want to know how that plays because it's supposed to be.
I've been trying to get
awesome.
One since last year when they launched, and I was unable to, and so. We was at Walmart and happened to find one, and my significant other says, I'm sick of hearing you complain about it here. So she bought it for me. So what you gonna do, man?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Just let her buy it. It's fine.
Yeah. Nah, honey, don't do that. Give me it.
But from the like a handheld perspective, everyone's talking about the Steam Deck right now and the Thor. Was it Thor? What's the other one? Not Thor. Odin.
Odin. I do like to call it the Thor, though. The Thor is pretty cool.
So they have, big names like that. In consoles, the talk is that the Series X is, in particular, an extremely well-suited device to hack around with and make your retro life better. So when Brian does that, we will report here on how that goes. And then you and I...
I've already done it on the S. It shouldn't be hard.
Should be easy, right? The S is similar, so why not? So there you go. That's what's happening there. Next week, our topic will be The Legend of Zelda 1 and 2. So The Legend of Zelda and then Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. Or as we wrote in our notes, Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2, Adventure of Stink, we wrote. That does not actually reflect on how we feel about Zelda. I think we're both huge fans, but we like to have fun in our notes. Anyway, that's next week, and I'm really excited about this because, A, as Brian put it in his notes to me, we need to feed those Nintendo people.
Yeah, they're hungry, man. They're hungry.
But also, I think Zelda's 1 and 2, staying neatly in the NES era is a real good place for us to go. So I'm excited about it and talking more about the origins of all that. And getting our Zelda on finally here on Play Retro.
Finally.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. That first one, I went back and played a couple years ago. It's pretty rough. Yeah. We'll see what I think about it.
It's okay. It's just, it's been time has passed. Okay, folks.
Yes.
We'll get into it. In the meantime, patreon.com/playretro is where you can go to support the show. That's patreon.com/playretro. I would like to welcome the following human beings to the fray. Jeremy Fortune.
Oh.
Jerome Fatora.
Yes.
I like that we got a Jerome and a Jeremy within like a week of each other.
I like that.
And Brendan.
Where are the new villagers?
Brendan Buckingham. So this is interesting. We got JF, JF, and BB.
Yeah.
Weird.
Ooh, I like that Buckingham. I wish my last name was. That's a cool name.
It's fancy, isn't it? I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to thank you guys for being here and being a part of our Patreon. If you don't know what's going on with that, super easy to find out. Just go to patreon.com/playretro and support your favorite podcast today. All right? Get over there and get that done. Brian, we're going to give away the PlayStation Classic right now.
Yes. Right now!
Yeah, that's right. Earlier today, I put up a thing where people could sign up for it, and I decided we're going to give it away. We're going to give it away now. Look at it. It's in Brian's hands. Look at that. PlayStation Classic. Brand new.
What do the Chili Peppers say? Give it away. Give it away. Give it away now.
Now. Yeah, they want it now is what they want. A whole bunch of you signed up. You all said such lovely things. I wish I could give one to all of you, but I've picked one at random. Brian, would you like to hear who our winner is?
I can't hardly contain myself. Do
all right.
It.
Here's our... I need the music for the win. Hold on.
I don't like steam.
No, no.
Money blow.
No.
Let's get...
No. Oh, this is good. Okay, so here's the start it.
Let's get scratching.
All right, so that's for that. Okay, that'll be for our win. All right, here we go. Our winner is... I'm picking randomly. The Void Alone. Some,
the
I think
Void Alone.
Says
now
in the notes his name
friend.
Is Kenny. Avoid the Void Alone. Congratulations. You have won today's prize giveaway of a PlayStation Classic.
Yes. Now I have one more to give away too, but not this week, right?
Yeah, so we still have one to give away.
Don't lose it just yet. We have one more to give away, but not this week.
I think that one will do. We may do patrons only for that one, I think. I think that's
right.
What we'll do. That.
Yes.
But this one was for the whole shebang, everybody out there and their dog. And the one lucky winner we have this week is The Void Alone, whose email I have. So I'll reach out to you, Kenny, and get you all hooked up with your prize. It'll be mailed directly to you. Congratulations. Sorry to all our international listeners. This was a U.S. only deal. But you understand.
Maybe we do some digital code giveaways. Yeah. I've got some digital code for some pretty sweet games. Maybe we give some of those to the national listeners. What do you think about that?
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for us. Big thanks everybody for listening. And by the way, those Patreon episodes, you get no commercials or ads of any kind ever. You get pre-show content every week that you're not getting any other way. It's the only place it ends up. And monthly benefits only available to our patrons. So head on over there and check it out. Patreon.com/PlayRetro. For everything else, it's PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. If you want to contact us, PlayRetroShow on Twitter. And the website is FrogPants.com/PlayRetro. Brian, anything else you want to say before we end this?
Just one thing.
What?
Woo-loo-loo.
Woo-loo-loo. I will also agree with woo-loo-loo, and we'll see you guys next time. Go play something retro. Bye now.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.